Macmillan Audio presents The Grief of Stones, written by Catherine Addison, read by Liam Gerrard. On a cloudy autumn day, I attended the execution of Brosset Shaveldar. Honora tried to talk me out of it. He said, "Thou art punishing thyself, and it is pointless." "It's not a punishment," I said. "I don't feel guilty about it. I feel responsible." "Thou art splitting hairs," Honora said. "Well, if thou art going to insist, dost thou want company?" "No," I said. "I thank thee, for it is a most kind thought, but I have no qualms about going alone."
"That's not what I asked," Honora said.
"What I don't want is to make thee attend this execution."
"I've attended my fair share," Honora said. "Another will not harm me."
"I know that, but..."
Honora looked at me over his spectacles. "Truly, thou wishest to go alone?"
"Truly," I said.
"Then I must let thee go," he said, although his ears said he would have preferred to keep arguing.
"I thank thee," I said.
Executions in the city of Amalo took place on the broad plaza in front of the Eulisthalion. They had switched from hanging to beheading in the reign of Prince Orchinus's father, Prince Orchina. Beheading was fast and could be expected to go right the first time, neither of which had been reliably true of hangings, even when the executioner was both competent and sober. There was always a crowd for a beheading. In this way, Amalo was like every other city I had ever lived in. People seemed to emerge from the flagstones to surround the dais, men and women, elves and goblins, manufactory workers and shop clerks, and the idle sons of burghers and nobility, and the vendors, every dozen feet or so, of quickly printed pamphlets about the murderer and his victims, and whether or not he had repented of his crimes. Another prelate of Eulis was unremarkable in the crowd, which suited me very well. They brought him out at noon, the traditional hour for executions. They had cropped his hair and tied his hands behind his back, and the two big goblins from the Vigilant Brotherhood made Shaveldar look almost delicate, breakable. I reminded myself of the women he had murdered, after seducing each one into believing he loved her. There was nothing delicate about Brosset Shaveldar. He stumbled on the steps up to the dais, but the goblins, not breaking stride, kept him upright until he reached the Riveth Arthur, where they let him fall to his knees. The executioner was waiting. He didn't give Shaveldar time to think of resisting, whatever resistance he might have been able to make, but shoved his head forward and dropped the stock across the back of his neck. The crowd made a low noise, a sort of moan, and I flinched. "Thou didst choose to come," I reminded myself grimly, and then the blade came shining down with a thwack, and the crowd's noise was more of a roar. Shaveldar's head fell into the basket, and that was it. He was dead. Maybe now I could stop dreaming of his wives. It was a few days after Shaveldar's execution that I received a letter asking me to come speak to the Marquis Yuljavel as soon as was convenient. I gave my black silk coat of office a close scrutiny for frays or dangling threads or other signs of wear, resolutely ignoring how faded it was, for about that I could do nothing. I braided and pinned my hair carefully and went to visit the Marquis that afternoon. The Marquis Yuljavel was legendary in Amalo for his stubbornness, he and his father before him. When all the other noble elven families had left the city for their country estates, the Yuljavada had stayed put. Their property had become a slowly shrinking island amid the airman's quarter, and was now down to the original compound walls, which were mortared stone like the walls of the Verran Marlo. There was a liveried servant on duty at the gatehouse, a middle-aged elven man who watched my approach with frank curiosity. I said, "We are Thara Kelahar, a witness for the dead."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?